You will lack wisdom to take the right decisions. You will lack wisdom and strength, divine ability to be able to live as a Christian if you don't do quiet time. I've been listening to many problems I hear about believers, and some they tell me, some I hear them. And when I'm hearing some of them, I just know the problem. I just know the problem. I can just predict the problem. First of all, do you have a quiet time? Or do you have a time you spend with God? Because majority of problems will start canceling themselves when you begin making time for God. I'm teaching good here. So listen to me. Quiet, you see, the secret of the believer's divine strength and wisdom is revealed in a quiet time. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, what is Paul telling us? Paul is telling us that to be strong in the Lord simply means to be one with God. It means to draw strength from God. It means to tap spiritual resources in God. It means to glean from God. It means to harvest from God. Now, there is a certain benefit you gain when you fuse with God. Have you realized that when someone has some good perfume on him and you hug the person, you live with that perfume? It's the same. When you fuse with God, what is on God rubs on you. So if you have a smell and you fuse with God, his perfume nullifies and neutralizes every other smell, because of course his smell is the best smell. So I know that you lack divine strength because you are not strong in the Lord. Number 5, we said that the quiet time plays a major role in our walk with God. Oh my goodness. Now, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God had taken him away. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? No, it's very simple. Quiet time is the first way of beginning a walk with God. It is possible to be a Christian and not walk with God. So hear me. If a believer says he has a walk with God without quiet time, he's just lying to himself. He's living in self-deceit. And I can tell you on authority, if you have consistent quiet times, you have a walk with God. That's how you walk with God. I'm teaching good. Number 6, we said spiritual growth begins with quiet time. Spiritual growth begins with quiet time. I've taught you about the 3 essentials of growth. Every living human being requires these 3 essentials. You cannot substitute one for the other. We grow by eating, we grow by breathing, and we grow by exercise. Give birth to a newborn baby. Without these 3 necessities, that baby won't survive. If the baby chooses to breathe and not eat, the baby will die. If the baby chooses to breathe, to eat and not breathe, the baby will die. If the baby chooses to breathe and not exercise, that baby will also die eventually. So there are 3 essentials. We grow by eating. Spiritually, the believer also grows by these 3 essentials. So we grow by eating. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In 1 Corinthians 3, the verse 1, he says, when I came to you, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat. So the word of God is milk. The word of God is meat. So the moment a believer begins quiet time by studying the word of God, he's beginning to eat. And remember, every food has its nutrients. Every revelation has its nutrients in your spirit. So all the benefits that we gain by eating oranges, eating chicken, eating plantain, you know, iron, calcium, carbohydrates, proteins, and we have the same content in the spirit revealed in the word of God. So every revelation you are partaking of gives you spiritual nutrients. So we can see certain believers and know what they are lacking. They are kwashiorkoric. We will know that this believer is lacking calcium in his walk. We can tell. We grow by breathing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says, pray without ceasing. We all know that we don't cease to breathe. So the Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible is telling us that what natural breath is to the natural man, prayer is to the spiritual man. So a praying believer is a breathing believer. And there is no quiet time without prayer. So the more quiet time you do, the more you are breathing. Listen. So what this means is that anytime you begin to give an excuse why you don't make time for God through prayer and the word of God, what you are saying is that it is possible to say that today I don't want to breathe, I'm too tired. Have you ever gotten too tired to breathe? Do you know that the more tired you are, you still breathe? No matter how busy you are, you still breathe, right? It is telling us that if what breath is to the natural man, prayer is to the spiritual man, it is telling us that you can never be too busy to pray. You can never be too tired to pray. That's what the Bible is telling us. Because when a man ceases to breathe, three things happen to him. Number one is inactivity. Number two is death. Number three is decay. So when you find a man who is not breathing, the first thing that happens to him is that he becomes inactive. Now, what happens when you cease to pray or you cease to develop a prayer life is that number one, you become inactive in the spirit. And that's dangerous for you. Number two, you kill your spiritual life. And number three, you begin to decay as a child of God. So we grow by eating, feeding on the word of God. We grow by breathing, prayer. And we grow by exercise. That is maintaining spiritual disciplines. Fasting. Joy. Giving. All these things are spiritual exercises that enhances our growth in God. Are we following this? Now this is a summary. Don't forget that. Someone says I'm being too fast because it's a summary. So go and get, we have done 15 teachings on what I'm summarizing for you. Number seven, the command to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit begins with a quiet time. The command to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit begins with quiet time. Now observe this. In Ephesians chapter 5, the verse 18, man, give me the verse 17 first so they understand this whole thing. Now, in the verse 17, he says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So this is already telling us something. If you're a child of God who doesn't do quiet time in our context, first of all, you are not wise. What I'm saying, you are not wise, I mean that you don't have spiritual intelligence. Number two, you will never be able to understand what the will of the Lord for your life is. So in the next verse, he begins to tell us something. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, when a man is drunk with wine or filled with wine, he is controlled by his intoxication of wine. So now the alcohol begins to tell him what to say and where to go and how to go. So you will find a very cool man who is drunk insulting people. Meanwhile, he's not like that. At that time, he's being controlled by what he has been filled with. Now, beloved, I have good news for you. What controls you is a response of what fills you. In other words, what fills you controls you. If you are filled with bitterness, it will control every decision you will take. It will show. If you are filled with love, it will show. If you are filled with anger, it will show. If you are filled with ignorance, it will show. So what fills you controls you. I'm teaching God here. So he's saying that when you are filled with wine, you are controlled by the wine. I told you of a story where a guy got drunk and he saw a car coming and he saw two lights. He thought it was two motorbikes coming, so he went to the center for it to pass, and he was knocked down by the car. I had a testimony of a student at Legon. He was drunk and he saw about a four-story building to be a pavement. And in joy, he was dancing and he jumped, fell down and died. What a foolish death. So listen, what fills you controls you. So he's saying, do not be drunk with wine. Why? Because it controls you. But he says, rather, be filled with the Spirit. So he interchanges wine with spirit. That means there is an intoxication that can come from the Holy Ghost. So that means when a believer is drunk with the Spirit, he'll be controlled by the Spirit. And how can a believer be drunk by the Spirit? Now look at next verse. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And these are the very things you do in quiet time. It's in quiet time you sing praises to God. It's in quiet time you sing spiritual songs. It's in quiet. See, at that time, you don't need a keyboardist to give you a key. Your bad voice is still aroma in heaven. I know I just saved somebody. You know, you see, for the purposes of order, okay, that's how come sometimes we have to get people who are gifted to sing, to lead. That's why you are not the one leading. Because you will spoil the whole service. But in quiet time, every key is a key. If you sing, why? Heaven receives it. Your voice is bad, but guess what? The Holy Ghost will transpose it. He'll transpose that bad voice and he will turn it into a sweet voice in heaven. I just saved somebody now. You are free to sing. Hallelujah. So now he says that singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And look at the verse 20. He says, giving thanks for what? All things. Listen, you can't do quiet time without thanksgiving. In fact, he says, enter into his courts with what? Praise and thanksgiving. So that is the beginning of quiet time. It is praises. I always start quiet time with praises. And praises does not have to be a song. It can be words. Oh, Father, I praise you for your name. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but to thy name give we glory. I praise you for your name. And you praise him for his infinite creation. Father, I praise you for your infinite creation, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Do you know what you're doing? You're giving him thanks. The creator of the heavens and the earth. The creator and the maker of the galaxy waves, the stars, the moon, the flying creatures and the creeping creatures. You created them all. There is no power like thee. I praise you. Much more, I praise you for the demonstration of the exceeding greatness of your power in raising Jesus Christ from the dead. I thank you. I praise you, Jesus. Then you start praising him for his magnificent attributes. I praise you because you are omnipotent. There is no power like you. All power submits to you. There is no power like yours, Jesus. I praise you and I bless you. Then you come to his omnipresence. Father, I bless you for you are everywhere. Much more, you are with me and in me. I praise you for your omniscience. You are all-knowing. You know all things and I praise you. I praise you for your holiness. You are just. You are kind. You are merciful. You are full of grace and love. I praise you. You are doing that in quiet time. Bro. I'm praising you, Lord. Then you come to Thanksgiving. You thank him. Father, I thank you that I'm born again. I thank you for salvation. I thank you so much for giving me your Holy Spirit. I want to thank you so much for giving me strength to move, strength to talk, strength to eat. Thank you for all the provisions. Thank you for the gari in the kitchen. At that time, you now become grateful. Because any Christian who is ungrateful will never receive anything from God. So you cultivate the habit of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. I have written 18 things I thank God for every day in my prayer room. I list them. Thank you for the cars you gave me. Thank you for giving me a place to sleep. Thank you, Father, for the gift of breath. For every breath I draw is a gift from you. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness over my life. Thank you for delivering me from the kingdom of darkness and translating me into the kingdom of your dear son. For my soul has escaped as a bear from the snare of his fowler. The snare is broken and I have escaped. Thank you. I have come to say thank you. I bless your name. Thank you, Father. All these things, you are practicing them in quiet time. Something will change. I'm teaching good here. So listen to me. The command to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit begins with quiet time. Number 8. This one is a bomb. And take it very serious. Number 8. The neglect of quiet time is an open door for Satan. When you begin to neglect your quiet time, you are giving Satan a legal access to exploit you. Oh my goodness. Yesterday, during the workers' meeting we had, I shared something very important with you. Now, when you go out to go and buy, let's say, a bunch of banana, and they are all connected, you know, and the banana is like, you know, let's say, 10 fingers in one, okay? So, on your way, when you were holding the banana, unfortunately, one of the fingers disconnected, and you manage to get a rubber bag and you place the banana in it. Now, when you get home and it's time to eat, which one will you eat first? The one that what? Disconnected. It's very simple. When a believer is disconnected from God, it is easier for the devil to eat him first. You will be eating first. So the moment you start disconnecting, then Satan is saying, monkey chop banana. This is a serious matter. You may be laughing now, but you may be laughing at the wrong side of your mouth when the issue happens. So listen, it is dangerous to disconnect. I told you the last time when I went for waiting, I was using a Bluetooth headset, right? And the song was playing through my phone. So I put the phone on the bench and I decided to just walk a bit further. So I was going away from the phone. Suddenly, the song began to break. Break, 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 break. As I went further, suddenly I heard disconnected. Suddenly, I heard switched off. What is happening there? Then quickly I turned it on and I moved closer to the phone and I heard connected and the song started playing. And the Lord said, this is the devotional life. The moment you start going away from God more, he said, my work, now they are tightening. They said, we have to meet targets. Target. You know that word? We have to meet target. Now, we the clients, they come at dawn, so we have to move. You know, continue. And more days are coming. 2, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 8 days, 10 days, 15 days, 30 days. You have never prayed. You have never touched your Bible. And Satan is just laughing. Do you know what is happening? Very soon, there's going to be breakages in your life. Number two, you are going to be disconnected. And two, number three, you are going to be switched off. And it happens gradually. Before you realize, you have started tasting alcohol. You know why? Because that conviction, that loudness of conviction that tells you what you're about doing is wrong, you will now lose it. Because the more disconnected you are from God, the more his voice becomes unclear. Soon strange lust will hit you. You can't understand what is happening to you. Soon you join yourself with wrong groups of people and gradually depression is taking place. Sorrow is taking place. The Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication. Now you have stopped praying. Anxiety, depression is growing and expanding in your life. And the thing keeps growing. And soon we hear that you are no longer a Christian again. This is how it begins. Disconnection from God. And the more disconnected you are from God, the more advantage Satan gains over your life. I'm teaching good here. Satan now begins to send arrows. He sends all kinds of arrows to hit you. Now discouragement will set in. And Satan will start making you blame your church. Blame the other believers. You said all these Christians are fake. Now you wake up in the morning, you say you don't feel like going to church again. That's how it begins. Satan has begun attacking you. Now you take your Bible, put it down. All this Bible cry. No, the Bible is already in our heart. That's where the attack begins. Now it is easy for you to get angry. It is easy for you to get depressed. Now sorrow sets in. Satan begins to send more arrows. He sends more arrows before you realize your life is getting in a mess. It all began from a certain source that you ignored. I'm teaching you why a lot of Christians are going through what they're going through. There are Christians who don't have the kind of money you have, living in other countries. Yet the joy that they're experiencing, wearing one dress a year, you having 20, you don't have that joy. They have one shoe. Some of them don't even have shoes. But when they are praising God when they gather. You at least have a salary of 500 Ghana cedis. They don't. Someone gives them food. Yet when they are worshiping God, the joy. So I came to realize that money is not everything. Can we still see you joy in God when your salary hasn't come? Or when there's no money? Can you still rejoice? Because Paul was telling us in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. I say unto you again, rejoice. Hold on. When Apostle Paul was saying rejoice, he was in prison. He was bleeding in prison, telling free people to rejoice. He was the one encouraging people who are free to rejoice. You know, so he found so much pleasure, delight, and joy so much in God that circumstances, hunger, misery, opposition, persecution, lack of money, lack of shoes, lack of cars, no place to sleep, no food to eat, none of these things moved him. And here, we hear Christians say that God has disappointed me. Why? Because you're believing God for a job and the job hasn't come. Really? You don't get this thing. You don't get this thing. If circumstances determine your service of God, you are gradually missing the heart of true Christianity. If you read the book of Acts, the Bible tells us the blueprint of what Christianity holds. The more they were persecuted, the more they gathered. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the whole place was shaking. It was in the midst of confusion that these people still gathered. That means nothing stopped their devotional life. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in fellowship with God and in prayers. Nothing stopped it. How come that money is stopping you from praying? How come busy schedules are stopping you from praying? The apostles in the book of Acts, verse 6, verse 4, he says that, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I am admonishing you, your future is dependent on this thing. You will grow your family on this foundation. My wife and the kids and I, we don't leave home until we have done a devotion. Even if it's 10 minutes, it pleases the Lord. And I have my personal devotion. And most of the time, I finish my personal devotion before I join the family devotion. Because family devotion is not the same as personal devotion. So listen, attacks of the devil were bound. If you don't have a quiet time with God, Number 8. Divine facts about quiet time. It is one of our highest expressions of faith. It is one of our highest expressions of faith. Many of you don't know that anytime you decide nobody's in the room, you are alone in that room, you sit down on the table, you put your head down, you bow your head down in silence to a God. You begin to thank him, begin to praise him, you begin to open your Bible, you begin to bless him. You can't see this God, but look at the activities you are doing. How come you can't see this God? Yet you are still honoring him, blessing him, glorifying him. What you are doing is faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the verse 6, the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But do you see that before that, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I can tell you, anytime you are practicing quiet time, you are actually practicing faith. Number one. Number two, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Which means that quiet time pleases God. Because it is an act of faith. Any day you finish your morning prayer, your morning devotion, your morning Bible reading, anytime you are done with your devotion, just know that God is pleased. You have pleased God that day. So if in a week you do your devotion, you have pleased God for 1 week. One great man said, 1 week without God makes 1 week. 1 week without God makes 1 week. That means that if 7 days you don't make time for God, you become weak as a Christian. Number 10. Quiet time is how we prove our loyalty to Jesus. This one is serious. Quiet time is how we prove our loyalty to Jesus. Listen, whoever is important to you is the one you make time for. Anything you make time for, it is because it is valuable to you. So listen to me. If you fail to make time for God, you are telling God, you don't have to say it with your mouth, that God, you don't mean a thing to me. I don't give a damn about you. That's what you're saying. Because listen, action speaks louder than words. So sometimes your actions or inactions are actually words that you haven't yet said. So any reason you give why you don't spend time with God? You are saying that if money is the reason you don't spend time with God, you're saying that money is more valuable to you than God. If your work is the reason why you don't spend time with God in the morning, you are saying that your work is more important than God. You have actually told God with your actions that your work is more important. You mean you can never strategize your time to be able to give 1 hour to God praying, singing, worshiping, reading a devotional before you go to work? That's a serious matter. That's a serious matter. That's a serious matter. And you see, remember I told you that this thing about growing in God is a fight. So because you know you have your quiet time, now you must practice the habit of sleeping early. If you have to cancel a movie at midnight to be able to sleep early and wake up at dawn to do this before you check out, you have to do it. If you have to eat light, you have to do it. This thing is war. It's a sacrifice. We give something to gain something. It's a sacrifice. Tell someone, it is a sacrifice. So you have to sacrifice something. In this kingdom, it is only sacrifices that strike a chord in heaven. If you can't sacrifice anything for God, you're not ready for God. I don't care how many times or what you think you know about God. If you can't sacrifice anything for your walk with God, you're not ready. Listen, in these last days, we can't pamper Christians again. We can't pamper Christians again. Because the more we are pampering, the more we are injuring you. You know that thing,
there
are children who their mothers, when they mess up, they don't say anything. They say, then the child is too fully. And the parents are still pampering the child. Now, what happens to the child when the child grows? What? He becomes a small child. The child fails automatically. And you see, if God keeps treating us that way, oh, I love you, doesn't matter, everything, don't worry, it still matters. Do you know what's going to happen? You're going to be a small child. Because listen to me, not only are we children of God, we are soldiers. And the reason why we are soldiers is because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Look at their names. Powers. Spiritual wickedness. In heavenly places. Look. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means there is a war. So if God keeps pampering you, you'll be using feeding bottle to fight in a war. And Satan will crush you because you don't have what it takes to win. So he says, put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. Then he says, pray with all prayer and supplication. Now, this is war. Most of you are not dressed. You are wearing pampers. You are being a toddler when you're supposed to be on the battlefield. Satan will just kick you out. Because you don't have capacity. And the Bible says, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If a child cannot lift this monitor you see here, it's not because the monitor has a problem. It's because the child has a problem. He's not grown. Yesterday, Reverend Dr. Benjamin Toto, our father, was teaching us something. He made a statement. He said, when you grow fat, your old clothes, when you wear them, begins to tear. When you outgrow a cloth, it tears. That means spiritually, if something demonic has been put on you, the more you grow, the more it tears on you. So there are some things that automatically tear. They leave. They burn. They check out just by growing. Just by growing as a Christian, some things will go. They'll go. I remember some years ago, I was having some kind of demonic dreams every time. Demonic dreams. They're just coming every single day. Either I'm fighting a marine spirit, or I'm fighting a demon, or I have a dream, and witches will be dressed. I'm eating, they'll come and take a bowl, and they'll hit the bowl away. And say, I should go. Then I'll go. Hey, I have a dream. A spirit will come. A spirit will come and sleep with me. A spirit will go. Hey, then let go. So, when I was prophesying to, I was going to be a prophet. I just started fasting. I was reading the Bible like 6 hours a day. Just praying. Listen, after like 1 year, 4 months, I forgot all these attacks I was getting. I forgot they are stopped. Certain additions, certain things, the problem is rooted to abiding. Have you discovered that the man that picked up Daniel to take him to the lions den, the fire was heated 7 times? 7 times. By the time they were taking the men to the place, they themselves got burnt when they were not in the fire. That means the heat of the fire was enough to consume them. And the Bible is telling us, this is a human natural fire. And the Bible is telling us our God is a consuming fire. Imagine when you stay with God, you stay in God. What happens? There are things that will leave you. They will consume. Have you forgotten the Bible says the fire tore the ropes on their hands? But not even the smoke of the fire was in their clothes. Imagine what the fire of God can do. It can tear you from bondage. It can free you. It can consume things in your life. So listen, it is in the intensity of fire that things consume. You can use matches to burn this paper. Just one. You can burn it. Right? But can you use the matches to burn this pulpit? But does it mean this pulpit cannot be burnt? It can. But the challenge is what? The intensity of the fire. And Christians don't love this message. We have to tell you all is well when all is not well. We have to tell you a miracle is coming. We know in our heart telling you that no miracle is coming. Because until you have obeyed the principles of God, until you have obeyed the word of God, forget about miracles. Some people are living in expectations that don't exist. You can never expect anything if you have not made any investment. And I need to teach you. And if you don't have time with God, I don't care who prophesied to you that you're going to be a great man or some businesses will open for you. If you don't spend time with God, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me. So Jesus Christ saved you for you to come to walk with him to be able to live your destiny. So you will need him not only for salvation, you will need him for marriage. You will need him for business. You will need him for your skill. You will need him for your job. He says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Tell somebody, nothing, nothing. I'm teaching good here. Hey. Number 11. The neglect of quiet time is the first sin you commit before other sins follow. I've told you, neglecting your quiet time is a sin against God's presence. It's a sin against God's grace. It's a sin against God's glory. It's a sin against God's person. It's a sin against God's access giving. How does this God give you access and you neglect it? You throw it away. I read a scripture in Psalm 119, verse 133. Now give that to me. Let me see if that's right. See, practice the habit of reading Psalm 119. It's one of the longest chapters in the Bible, but one of the best, Psalm 119, the whole of Psalm 119. It will bless you. I learned it from one old saint. He reads Psalm 119 every month. Now look. Psalm 119, verse 133. Oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. He says, order my steps in thy word. And Lord, let not any what? Iniquity have dominion over me. That means when a man's steps are ordered in God's word, iniquity will not have what? Dominion over him. Wow. So listen to me. You are living already in sin. Huh? When you don't practice quiet time. I hope you understand that sin in the New Testament is very relative. It as much as stealing, fornication, all kinds of a sin. There, if you read the book of Romans 14, he says, whatsoever is not done of faith is sin. Whatever you don't do by faith is sin. In the book of James, the Bible says that whosoever knoweth good and does not do them, to him it is sin. In other words, if you know you're supposed to do your quiet time, they've not written a quiet time is sin. But if you know you have to do this good thing called quiet time and you don't do it, to you, it's sin. My goodness. 1 Samuel 12:23, it says, ask for me, God forbid that I sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I will teach you the good and right way. I'm teaching you here. Are you following this thing? Now, we looked at why we should have a good quiet time, right? We said number one, because what? We need fellowship with God. So why is daily fellowship necessary? Why is it important that you need to have daily fellowship with God? Why is it important? Why? Why is it important? That every day I'm supposed to have daily fellowship with God. Why? We said because number one, we were created to have fellowship with God. We were created to have fellowship with God. Can you imagine that God created man in his own image and likeness? Why did he do that? He's telling you that you were not created to exist or survive. You were created for a relationship. So if you live to exist or if you live to survive as a Christian, it's an insult to God. So fellowship with God is our default. It's our default. I'm teaching good. So God came in the cool of the day to have fellowship with God, with Adam, every single time. Number two, because Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we will have fellowship with God. Jesus died on the cross so that we will have fellowship with God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, for Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So the purpose of his suffering on the cross is to bring us, or was to bring us to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and had given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The verse 19 says, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the second reason why daily fellowship is very important is because what? Jesus Christ died so that we can have fellowship with God. Number three, because the regular quiet time during Jesus' ministry was the source of his strength. The third reason why daily fellowship with God is so important is because the regular quiet time during Jesus' ministry was a source of his strength. Now, many of you think that Jesus, because he was the Son of God and he came on earth, so everything was supposed to be automatic. No, Jesus did not bypass process. When you read the book of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, and he grew. Telling us that Jesus did not bypass process. He was born, he fed, he grew, and he practiced spiritual disciplines the Old Testament people did to be able to walk with God. He did the same thing. He didn't say, because I'm God, I will not have my devotion today. Go and check your Bible. In Mark 1:35, the Bible says, and he rose up a great while before day. He did not assume he is God. When he found himself as a man, he did what Isaac did. He did what Moses did to be able to walk with God. So he says he went out a great while before day and he departed unto a solitary place and there he prayed. That's quiet time. And don't be tempted. Someone says, man of God, every time is time. Every time is quiet time. Listen to me. I know what the devil can do when you don't have a specific time. If you live life to chances, you give an advantage to the enemy. Once you don't have a time and you think it's any time, let's say I'll do it, let me do it at one. Before you realize it, that one, you get a phone call. Or you just go to Facebook to go and check reels. And before you realize, you have spent 3 hours there already because you don't have a structured time. So you don't get focused. You can easily be distracted. Satan will make sure and ensure that time you want to do, it won't happen. But once you have a specific time, do you know what it does? It makes you disciplined. It makes you disciplined. Number two, it makes you sacrifice. Because when the time is up and you're even tired, you have to get up. I'm teaching good. Number four. Because every great man or woman throughout history has spent much time alone with God. The reason why daily fellowship is important is because every great man or woman in history spent time alone with God. I don't know how you define greatness, but greatness is not the car you have. It's not the number of houses you have. Because on this earth, we see a man has 5 houses. This man is a great man, though. Do you know how many houses he has? He has 5. Really? This man is a great man. Oh, he has Bugatti.
and Nagati. He has Jane Wagon and Jane Dragon. So he's great. Now, you see, so we have confused God's definition of greatness with the mundane definition of greatness. Hear me. A great man is the one that spends time with a great God. There are missionaries today who cannot even boast of slippers. And we are going to meet these people in heaven. These were men who gave themselves to the Lord, who walked with God. And they left the earth with no property. They left the earth with no car. They left the earth with no houses. In fact, when they were leaving the earth, they were called failures. They were so unimportant upon this earth that men trampled upon them. These are men who are five-star generals in heaven. So I don't know your definition of greatness. Hey, people can pay money to go and see a great celebrity. A celebrity will be doing a program and the ticket is 100 Ghana cedis. And people are, by 3 days to the show, tickets have been sold. To go and see a great personality. If we hear that, give me one great musician in the world today who is, let's assume, is coming to Ghana. Not Shatawale, I said Christian. Let's say it's a group of Christians. Travis Green, Sinach, Frank Edwards, and who? Yeah, okay, I don't know the names you're mentioning now. So, Don Wen, and all these people are coming. And then they're on the bill like that. They said ticket is 200 Ghana cedis. And Teofilo Sunday is also coming. And then they said ticket is 200 Ghana cedis. Now, you want to see these great people. So, you go and buy the ticket to see them. And guess what? There's no ticket to see God. There is no ticket to see the great God. There is no celebrity that can ever compare himself to God. And yet, you don't pay ticket, you don't buy ticket, nothing. You just come. And yet, you don't go. So, do you see the error? There are some of you, your greatest heart desire is to have lunch with the queen who is already dead anyway. It's to have lunch with, you know, Davido. Just one afternoon lunch with Davido. I saw one lady, I think it was a video. I think Davido was performing and he came close to the girl and he was performing. The girl, hey. I'm sure this girl goes to church. And she was weeping that Davido stood around her. Oh no, those times, during the times of Michael Jackson, people died. People died. There were people who just, they saw how the guy was doing his moonwalk, you know. If you have a, I'll just do it for you, and you guys, you see something. You see my show, those times when I was in Accra Academy, you see the show there. Hallelujah. Elijah, be careful. In fact, see me after church. Chai! People were dying! There was a time, Sakode was having a show. A lady fell under the power of God. When she got closer, he brought her to the stage and the girl was like, and then she fell. I said, no, the way when we are doing ministrations, people fall, that's how she fell. And she was rolling on the floor like Holy Ghost at China. I said, hey. No, you see, I want us to see the level of embarrassment that we are doing to ourselves in our imagination. So some of you, the day you took a selfie with Davido, you won't sleep. No, it's a serious matter. You won't sleep. But guess what? You are sleeping on God. No, I want to provoke your thoughts. For you to see something, that the kind of mistakes we're doing, we have even valued men more than our God. We have placed so much value on men that the free access he has given us through Calvary, we have abused it. If this thing doesn't strike something in this heart, that no, I need to go back to God. I have punished God. I have insulted God. I have made mockery of God. I need to repent. I need to repent from this attitude of staying away from God. I need to repent. That's what God is requiring from us. You're too far away from God. It's been 2 weeks now, you never prayed. And we said that number five, we cannot be healthy growing Christians without daily fellowship with God. We can never be healthy growing Christians without daily fellowship with God. In James chapter 4, the verse 8, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's very simple. In salvation, it was God that drew near. He drew near to you. By preaching the gospel to you and you got born again. In intimacy, God is not the one who does the initiation. You do the initiation. It is you that draws near, then he draws near to you. It's very simple. And he will draw near to you. We can never be healthy growing Christians without it. Listen to me. Quiet time is not something that happens to us, but something that what? We make happen. Listen. Our relationship with God is not transactional. It's romantic. No, we need to understand that. Because if you don't understand how romance is, you can't walk with God. You know, when you're walking with a lover, remember that lover is jealous. He's jealous over the one he loves. So, listen, we have to treat our relationship with God the same way. Anytime you live a day without God's word, without God's presence, you must sense the jealousy of God in your spirit. Because God is not only jealous, so he said his name is jealousy. That's his name. So you can imagine. Now listen, one thing the Holy Spirit does not like, or one thing that grieves the Holy Ghost the most, is when it hurts him to the core. He does not like to be ignored. Ha! There are times I can be on my phone checking something. It's been like 1 hour. Then I can sense the jealousy of God. Then I stop it. Will you stop? You will stop. I'll stop it. I told you how many years ago I was following election results. For over 4 hours. I go to this page on Facebook. I follow Facebook Live. I go to this one. When this one is off, then I go to the radio. From there, I go to YouTube. I was following that thing. And the Holy Ghost said, why have you left me like that? I sensed it. I didn't hear an audible voice. So I sensed it. And listen, if you want to go far with God, you must learn to develop the habit of sensing his jealousy. Learn it. They are saying that my time is up. Into you be our own. With the ability. So, in conclusion, with this summary, number one, you are missing out on the great bread. Do you know what it means to create a microphone for speaking and for singing and for talking, and then you find out that somebody is using it as a basketball bat, a tennis ball bat? Do you how would the manufacturer feel when he sees that someone is using something he created for a purpose being used for something else? So when a believer when a man who is created to have fellowship with God is now using his time for other things, he's saying that the purpose for which God created him for doesn't mean anything to him. Number two, you are rejecting that which Jesus died for to make possible. Jesus died so that you can have fellowship with him. If you stop having your quiet time or making time for Jesus, what you are saying is that it was useless for him to die for you. And number three, you will never experience the same power and refreshment Jesus did if you don't do what he did when he was on earth. Share. See, the quiet time is a check-o. If you sin a day before and you come early in the morning for quiet time, the Holy Ghost will remind you that what you did was a sin. It is in that place you kneel down and apologize with him because you were in a relationship with him. It's not that it is your begging or your apology that makes him forgive you. But what you are doing is that you are more sensitive to his presence. Listen to me. Imagine I got married to my wife and I set on the wedding day, we set vows that till death do us part, in sickness and in health. In what? Poverty and in riches. In what? Sickness and in health. Till death do us. We have said that word and I've told her on the day of her wedding that I love her. And then we are living in the marriage. Then I don't tell her I love you. Because I said it 5 years ago. So I'm assuming she should know it. Do you know what I'm doing? What I'm doing is that I am truncating a process that keeps the relationship bonded. Number two, if I sin against my wife and I pretend I don't know what I've done, and that she should know that we said till death do us part, so whatever happened, we should stay with each other. So if I sin against her, I go and cheat on her and I come back, clean my mouth, she catches me. And then he said, you did it. I said, You have to stay now because that's what we said on the wedding day. Now what happens? The relationship, something's going to happen to the relationship. Please, are you getting this thing? Something is going to affect the relationship. There's going to be some heaviness, some tensions around it. Listen, we are forgiving past, present, and future sins according to scripture. But listen, in our relationship with God, we can create tensions. So when we sin against God, we don't say because Christ forgave us 2,000 years ago, on account of that, we say that we don't need to tell God to forgive us. Or we don't need to ask for forgiveness of sins. You see, if you are somebody who is deep in your walk with God and you really value your relationship with the Maker, you will learn to apologize. You will learn to say sorry. You will say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Meanwhile, you're not saying to be forgiven. You are saying that to repair the breach of connection. So you're on your knees, Jesus. You are weeping. You know you are forgiven, but you are not abusing the grace of God in making you one with God. I've come to value this relationship so much. The moment the Holy Ghost tells me what you did is wrong, I check this heart. I check this heart very well. And I kneel down and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Now, the Holy Spirit is not the time that I say, I feel now, Pacho. Sorry. No. What you are doing is not for him. It's for you. To be able to have boldness. You know, there are Christians today who know they're forgiven, but they don't have boldness when they're coming to God. See, no matter who you are, if you sin against someone you're in a relationship with, you will never be comfortable. For you to remove that conviction, you know, that thing from your conscience, there's something you have to do. There is something you have to do to get rid of that thing from your conscience. You can't pretend nothing happened. Any Christian that will ever do that, I am telling you, your relationship with God will amount to nothing. You have to learn to beg God when you offend him. Hey, you know, when you were a child, let's say 5 months old, can the 5 months old child, does he know that I have to say sorry to mama if I do something wrong? If a 5 months old child puts mommy's iPhone in the toilet and flashes it, does he even know that it's a sin? You know, because when you are immature there, some things don't matter to you. Yes. And God understands because he knows your level. But the moment you keep growing, you must take responsibility of your actions. I'm teaching someone well because some people have not been taught well in the message of grace. As you are growing, the whole thing changes. Mommy will excuse you. You poop yourself. She goes and she goes to wash it. But as you are growing, you realize that you can't be pooping. Because it's a disgrace. When mommy takes you out and leaves you there, you poop and disgrace him there. My son, after 3 years, he's still pooping on himself. But when he wants to wee-wee, he'll tell you he wants to wee-wee. When he's come to poop, then he'll poop on himself. And when he poops, we beat him and say, hey, if you poop again, then we'll go, he said, you cry, you. You have to stop pooping because you are growing. If you don't train that child that way, the child will be 5 years and still pooping. Please, are you getting this thing? So listen, even in love, God disciplines his children, the one he loves. Anytime you are being disciplined by God, it's because he loves you. Children that are not disciplined, they are children that create problems. Christians who are not disciplined by God, they create problems. Where I've gotten to now, that I won't even permit myself to do. I can't, it's not possible. No, it's not possible. So hear me. There is a reason why we do this quiet time. Because you see, that's your school. We call it the school of the spirit. Quiet time is the school of the spirit. When you are there, the Holy Ghost will check your excesses, your errors, the sins you committed. You address everything, will be addressed there. That's when you are doing maintenance. He's changing the oil, changing your heart. And all these things because of you. Then the relationship is getting better. It's getting brighter. It's getting better. It's getting glorious. And soon, something begins to happen to you. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love him. I love him, and nothing can take his place for my life. And this is the reality every child of God must know. If you want to leave a legacy for your children, please don't ignore God in your walk with him. It's too unhealthy. It's too dangerous for you. I know what I'm saying. We've had people from here who have traveled outside the country, and they just keep thanking me every time. He said, Papa, if you didn't teach us what I know now, the system in US would have brought me down. They are still praying. They are still reading their Bibles despite their busy schedules. And because they had a proper foundation. Listen to me. This foundation we have in there, if you throw it away, you pay for it. Your children will demand it from you. I'm done with you for today. Oh, dear Father, the one we love is ever before us. Unto you is this gathering where your sons and your daughters are submitted under your feet to hear your counsel. For all scripture is by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the believer, will be thoroughly finished unto every good work. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask that this counsel, this teaching, this light will influence our decisions today as people of God. In the next 1 minute, begin to talk to God and tell him to restore unto you the joy of spending time with him. You have just 1 minute to pray this prayer. Ask the Lord to help you.